We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. Never believe you're out of a game. Where did that come from?
It's having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two, AJ and Dusty. Team USA got back on the right track with their exhibition game against Spain, where they beat up on the Spaniards last night. I actually watched that game.
Oh, look at you go. I am getting kind of sad because I don't think we're going to watch much of the Olympics live, looking at the schedules that come out, unless you're staying up till 4 a.m. Or getting up at 4 a.m.
I'll find a way to make it happen. But I watched because I was like, at the beginning, I was like, oh gosh, what are we going to do here? And then USA was getting beat by Spain. And they started rifling off names like Sergio Rodriguez and Rudy Fernandez still playing for Team Spain. And I was like, holy crap, Spanish chocolate and Rudy? Here we go. And I ended up watching far more of that game than I should, actually, all of it. as Dame did it again, Team USA ended up rolling right through, and you saw it was 83-76 was the final, but they were up by like 15 late, and they just kind of closed that gap late. But I sat there and I went, okay, well, Team USA's they're kind of back. Wrong. This morning we wake up and Zach LaVine is not traveling with the team to Tokyo because he's in COVID protocols.
Perfect. So this is now the third player on the Team USA men's basketball team that's been affected with this. So we had Bradley Beal, Jeremy Grant, now Zach LaVine. The good news with LaVine, though, is and this is where it gets so confusing, right? Because all under the umbrella of health and safety protocol, but there's a difference in A, testing positive, B, testing positive and being unvaccinated versus vaccinated, and then C, being deemed a close contact when you're either vaccinated or unvaccinated. So it's all very confusing, but this one leads me to believe he could be a vaccinated close contact because in the report, they said that they're hoping he can join them in Tokyo later this week.
Okay.
So
that's good.
Not all over just yet.
Yeah, because Team USA leaves for Japan today.
Yes.
They're heading on over.
And guess who leads Team USA in minutes, points, assists, and steals?
Damian Lillard.
Yep.
Weird.
The entire country is getting an idea of what it's like to be a Portland Trail Blazers fan.
He's really good at basketball. Yes. Continues to be really good at basketball still.
Changed the uniform, still great at the game.
Yeah, the defensive part is interesting, though, because Spain, they were switching all the screens last night, and Spain was just like, okay, we're going to back Dame down onto the block. And I was like, oh, also looks familiar. But Team USA is now, I mean, they won their final two games, so they're 2-2 heading into Olympic play. That's whatever. We are finding, though, like, COVID is going to wreak havoc on these games because, if one, it's still a thing.
Yep.
And two, well, you got Coco Gauff on the tennis side over the weekend. She had to back out. We just mentioned like things like the Zach LaVine issue where we don't know, is it a close contact?
Right.
What's going on? But he's planning to join the team. There are athletes even in the Olympic Village over the weekend that were testing positive.
Yep. There was a Team USA gymnast, Kara Akers. She's the alternate. She tested positive for COVID. So she's going to continue training from my understanding, but now they move to like an isolation. There's like isolation training, isolation, like
wait, so why can't Bradley Beal come and play for Team USA then? Like, she's
Different once you're over there versus like, this is what makes the Olympics. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that make the Olympics hard this year. Number one, the host country is still protesting them, right? Like the host city still has people protesting them. But yeah, so she was one of the alternates. So she's tested positive, and Katie Lou Samuelson also testing positive on the 3-on-3.
She's Team USA. Yeah. 3-on-3.
3-on-3 basketball. I've been anxious about the Olympics this whole time, just because it seems like a massive Herculean effort to pull off, to have people from a lot of the countries on the world who are all in very different stages of vaccination, infection rates. Not a great situation. Not the normal talk that we're having heading into opening ceremonies, which, by the way, are going to have nobody in the stands.
True dat. So Katie Lou Samuelson, I've actually heard of her. She played at Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Does anybody know who is on the men's 3-on-3 team? I'm going to just throw this out there. It didn't look like a team that's going to be winning gold.
Uh-oh.
There's one person that I've actually heard of.
Tell me.
What's Robbie Hummel? You remember Robbie Hummel?
Oh.
From Purdue?
Briefly, yeah.
Yeah. Robbie Hummel plays for the 3-on-3 team. So does Dominique Jones. You may have caught his games back in 2011 when he was playing for Fort Hays State University, which I've never heard of. Joey King out of Minnesota. He plays on the team. And then Kareem Maddox, who played at Princeton.
Why is 3-on-3 a thing in the Olympics, I mean?
Good question, Will.
No answer, though.
Yeah. I was just going to leave it at that. Yeah, that was a good one. No, it was because to give some of the teams that, they don't have 5-on-5 as a viable option for, you know, getting a medal. Like, basketball is popular around the world, but 5-on-5 basketball still, you know, you actually need like five really damn good players to qualify. So if your team doesn't qualify, those guys still have a chance to qualify through 3-on-3.
So wouldn't you suppose if you don't have enough good players to field a 5-man team, that it probably won't be great competition?
Well,
with just three.
I'm going to throw this out there. Just read you the 4-man team for the Team USA.
Hey.
I've heard of one.
But this team, 2019 Pan American Games gold medal.
Our 3-on-3 guys?
Yeah.
You're damn right.
So?
How long until my love for Team USA ditches 5-on-5 and just attaches itself to the hopes of the 3-on-3 team, not really knowing what time they play or who they're playing against, and I just do it?
Are you ditching because you think that the 5-man team is going to lose a game?
If they lose, I'm out.
Is that it? Is that it?
I'm out. We know this.
Oh.
I will find something that I will want to root for in the Olympics. I don't care if it's handball. I don't know if Team USA even qualified for team handball. That game kicks ass. I love watching that. It could be trampoline. I'll watch trampoline. Acrobatics, don't really know what they're doing, but you get scored on height and form. So
look at you go.
Really looking forward to that. Skate or die, brah. I'm going to watch skateboarding.
You better watch surfing, too.
Uh-huh. Have no idea how to judge a surf competition, but you know what? If it has USA involved, I'm going to find a way to yell.
Yep.
That idiot from Australia had no great form on riding the wave through the pipe, bro.
Bro.
Gnar. Yeah, that's how I watch the Olympics.
Oh, that's fair. It'll be interesting because I feel like some of these sports that are some of the sort of lesser known ones are going to be maybe in different times in Japan. And so they might be more accessible for us to watch here. Like, if they're not primetime local, you know, then they might be actually more accessible for us to watch here. Or easier for our schedules to watch.
So you're telling me team handball will be in my wheelhouse.
Telling you might become an avid artistic swimming fan.
Actually, I have long been an avid artistic swimming fan.
Impressive.
Because they used to call it synchronized swimming, but you know what? That takes the art out of it, because synchronized swimming tells me that we all need to be doing the same movements at the same time. Artistic swimming, AJ, is where I can do whatever the hell I want. I don't have to be attached to the rules and regulations.
Nope.
That you
create your art.
Yeah. Interpretive.
Create your art.
It's interpretive swimming is really what it is.
I'm excited.
It seems like handball is a Scandinavian kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's handball is
Croatia, Denmark. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the handball player of the year, the IHF World Player of the Year.
Yeah.
It's Nicholas Landon Jacobsen from Denmark.
He's probably like 6'8", blonde.
Probably beard.
He's 6'7", not blonde.
Ah,
definitely white.
Dude, these handball players.
It's intense.
When you watch men's volleyball and handball, you go, what the hell? Why is the NFL not like sending guys to Denmark and Sweden and Norway and just saying, you know what we'll do? We'll throw you a couple $1 million. I don't care. You can go play handball whenever the hell you want. You can play volleyball whenever you want. You are a tight end. You are a wide receiver. Because these guys move so well.
They do.
And they're fast.
Yes.
And it's like, where did you come from?
Yep.
Come on over. Meanwhile, in the United States, we're taking like retread basketball players. And we're saying, all right, Antonio Gates, throw on. And he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
I was going to say, that worked out pretty well.
Yeah. Imagine what we could do with some of these
handballers.
6'9 dudes that have like a 40-inch vertical. You're telling me you can't throw a back pylon fade to that?
No.
My God. Jared Goff could throw back corner fade. He overthrows everybody. Just, hey, Jared, imagine he's Brandon Cooks and he's 5'8 and just throw a normal fade to the back corner. Boom. Throw that thing way up there and Hans or whatever the hell his name is 6'9 with a 40-inch vertical. He'll bring it down.
There you go.
Nicholas Landon's actually a goalie.
See? Great hands.
Watching highlights.
He's got great hands.
You have a new strategy.
I figure
the NFL.
I can figure this one out, and I can go over to Europe and make a couple million as a consultant, right?
I think you should think about it.
I mean, it's so easy. Nobody's ever thought of this idea before.
No, surely you are the first one ever.
I don't watch a lot of soccer, but I think in handball as a goalie, you get a lot more nut shots because I've seen at least three watching this highlight. And this is a highlight.
Wow.
That's how you stop it.
Youch.
That's how you stop it.
I mean, he's just getting just beat.
All right.
Hardcore.
Anyways, Olympics off to a rough start.
Yes. Well, and they haven't even started yet.
No. I have two more Olympic notes.
Oh.
But I will save them for our Monday musings, which are next on The Fan.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, that was a deflating break. We got a text at 503-250-1080 that said men's 3-on-3 didn't even qualify. Yep. That group led by Robbie Hummel, not enough to push the United States into 3-on-3.
So your basketball hopes rely on the women's 3-on-3, and men's regular 5-on-5.
This is ridiculous. I expect better. Come on, Team USA.
My gosh.
All right, there's a lot of stories around the sports world that you may have missed over the weekend. That's why we bring them all to you right now in our Monday musings. I said I had two leftover Olympic stories to bring to you.
Ready for it.
Number one.
Okay.
Is that I saw that they're supposed to have 90 degree temperatures for the opening ceremonies on Friday over there. So instead of saying, you know what, we're going to ditch the jacket, Ralph Lauren, who dresses all the athletes for Team USA, they're going to be putting like cooling systems into the people that have to carry the flag in, because apparently you can't carry the flag without wearing a big denim jacket, according to Ralph Lauren.
Well,
that's the dumbest thing I've heard.
They pay a lot of money and people put a lot of time into deciding and creating the look for
Team
USA.
Well, guess what? Create a damn look that doesn't have a denim jacket in the middle of or late July in a place where you could very easily check the weather, annual temperatures, and know it's usually pretty damn hot in Tokyo in late July.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
The other thing is, we're having a fake news call out from the organizers of the Tokyo Games because have you seen the cardboard beds that have been put out there?
Yes. Yes.
They're saying that initially it was they were anti-sex beds to keep athletes apart.
Yep.
Apparently, no. They're just sustainable. They're calling it some sustainable beds.
Ah.
It's not. The athletes will be sleeping on cardboard beds. The best athletes in the world, which is, it's just the bed frame. They do have their nice mattresses.
Yeah.
You telling me that you're going to throw a shot putter?
It's a very different size human being than a gymnast.
On a
very different
cardboard
size.
Bed.
I think everyone should tune into the athletes' TikToks and Instagrams because I think we're going to find some very funny stories coming out of the Olympic Village as more people move in.
Now,
so,
if they were designed to be anti-sex beds, that would be even more hilarious. Like, how are we going to stop these athletes from getting frisky in the Olympic Village? Oh, I know, cardboard beds.
Perfect.
Which, some of that cardboard, like, it is really thick and sturdy.
Yeah. Especially, like, have you ever gotten, I'm trying to think of, like, appliance? Like, the cardboard appliances come in?
Yeah, like the compressed stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, show.
All right, soccer guy, you ready for this?
Yes.
Your Portland Thorns sit atop the NWSL after beating Orlando 2-1. Sophia Smith had one of the prettiest goals I've ever seen. She carried it all the way past midfield, took it herself outside the box, nailed it.
Bam.
Thing of beauty. Bella Bixby, goalie right now because Adriana Franch is with Team USA, has recorded the most shutout minutes to start an NWSL regular season.
That's a cool name, too, Bella Bixby. How is that Olivia Moultrie gal playing, the 15-year-old?
I saw her play in the first game that the Thorns were at full capacity and in her first game. And she had some meaningful minutes, but it's, you know, she's sort of playing towards the end of the game right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
she is, as it were,
15 years old.
She's real good, though. She did not look out of her element, I'll tell you that.
All right.
So there's that. Now, from soccer, from one football, to football.
Oh.
For your viewing pleasure this NFL season, you can find the Manning Bros on an alternate Monday Night Football broadcast. 10 games this season. Peyton and Eli on ESPN2.
Yes.
For 10 games.
Yes. I will watch that 10 times out of 10.
Now, I'm very curious to see what dynamic they opt to go with, right? Because, like, if you watch Amazing Race or any of those things, like, each couple or each sibling duo has, like, a personality.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what it's going to be for the bros. Are they going to be fighting? Are they going to be building off of each other?
No, I think it'll be great. I think it's going to be fantastic because if, like, when you sit in a room with a quarterback, they can't help themselves when they watch a football game. Like, they just sit there and they just randomly blurt out coverages or where a blitz is coming from or what to check to. And if that is it and that's all it is, I'm in. I want it.
Yeah.
But I know that Eli and Peyton, they are savvy enough to where they're going to make it funny and entertaining as well.
I think so.
So I think it'll be the way to go. And they're doing only 10 games.
That's what I'm reading here on ESPN.com.
I love it.
10 games in each of the next three seasons. It's going to be Peyton and Eli. Yeah, I think for all three of those seasons.
If it's just those two, they're nailing it. Also in the NFL, we saw 13 NFL teams have reached the 85% vaccination rate, which eases restrictions. One of them not being the Dallas Cowboys, and Michael Irvin had thoughts on that. He called them, called the players selfish. And how committed to you are winning? Are you to winning if you don't want that? Now, if players that are vaccinated, they can leave the hotels. They have no restrictions in the weight room or through training camp, all that stuff. Unvaccinated players still do. And if you have the 85% threshold within your locker room and on your team, then it's all lifted throughout the entire facility.
Organization.
So that's a huge, huge advantage for those teams that decide.
Yep. Training camp starts next week. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I'm pumped.
I'm very pumped. Also on the recruiting trail, Oregon picked up another commitment, this time from a four-star interior offensive lineman, David Aiuli, out of Puyallup, Washington. He is 6'5" and 315 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Another big boy that they're getting for the interior offensive line. And he picked the Ducks over a host of other schools. But this is the reason why I'm bringing this one up here, is that there is a lot of, oh, Oregon, you know, it's just flash facilities and Nike and NIL now and all that. Or we do hear the bag man a lot. This young man said to Andrew Nemec, of the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec right here on The Fan. What separated Oregon was he tore his meniscus his sophomore year of high school and missed the entire season.
Wow.
And most of the top programs stopped recruiting him. And Oregon stayed in contact. They were relentless in their contact. They gave him encouragement throughout that entire process.
Yep.
And that just goes to show, like, and I always keep saying, like, what Cristobal and his staff do on the recruiting trail, you can't just sit there and point to one thing or this or that. They recruit the individual, and they do it better than anybody else right now in the Pac-12.
Yep.
So this started, this young man is a senior. This started his freshman year of high school, and they stayed on him when others let go of him, forgot about him. They kept on it.
People want to feel like human beings, especially in college football, which, by the way, side note, one of my favorite things about NIL so far is how many offensive linemen, just offensive lines in general, are getting sponsored as a group by, like, the best restaurant in town.
As they should.
I agree. It's one of my favorite things.
And I think that this is going to be the things that, these are going to be the things that everybody's like, ooh, the quarterback gets it. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks are being divas, and they're outpricing, you know, what a lot of the businesses can handle. Like, I know that a personalized message from, like, what Ole Miss's quarterback or whatever is going to cost you, like, 10 grand. What? I know you're the best returning quarterback in the SEC, but you go to Ole Miss, man. Come on.
I love it.
All right.
My favorite thing.
And there it is. Your Monday musings. Do it every Monday at this time. I will always love my team, but there is a team I am now rooting for to win it all this season. And it's because of how they react in the face of crisis. First as well with SportsCenter.
I heard you good with them soft lips. Yeah, you know, word of mouth.
So over the weekend, a scary situation played out in Washington, the nation's capital, D.C. Heard of it?
Yes.
It's where Bills go to Capitol Hill. Just a bill on Capitol Hill. The Padres are playing the Nationals, and in between the top and bottom of the sixth inning, the sound of gunshots rang out through the stadium. At the time, nobody knew what was going on, and apparently there was a shooting between two cars, drive-by shooting, just outside the third baseline of Nationals ballpark there. Like, several shots rang out. Everybody's like, what is going on? And in that moment, like, I sat there and I said, all right, I'm going for the Padres now. When I heard about what happened and you started seeing the videos of what happened in the moments after, because Fernando Tatis, Will Myers, and Manny Machado, instead of, like, scurrying to the clubhouse for safety, those guys ran out down the third baseline. And by the way, nobody knows where these gunshots are coming from. And they go and they open up the gate and start helping their friends and family section of their fan base. But other fans, too, like, literally picking them up and carrying them towards the clubhouse.
This was one of those moments that's so terrifying to watch unfold, but as it sort of calms down and you see people's instant reaction in that. It shows you so much about who they are as a human being. And I think you saw all three of those players. Yes, they went out and grabbed their families, but they unlocked the gates. And there were a ton of Nationals fans in the dugout, in the Padres dugout, because they were just thinking, hey, probably the safest place to be is going to be in our dugout, in our clubhouse. And that level of compassion and empathy and just kindness for humanity is something that should be celebrated at all levels. No qualifiers needed.
You learn a lot about people in crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly where I sat there and I was like, dude, I always will. You'll always love your team. But I will be pulling for the Padres with those three guys on it because of in that moment, Fernando Tatis said that he goes, our family, our loved ones, the little kids, I feel like somebody needed to go get them. I felt like the safest place was in the clubhouse and we were trying to get our families to a safe place. He went on to say that, you know, you in that situation, things change immediately. There's no longer players or fans. I just feel like everybody's just people, human beings, and we're trying to be secure.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine what it was like being in that stadium at that time, but to see that was the first reaction from those three players, that is because, I mean, the Nationals players, they were bringing, you know, the fans that spilled out onto the field, they were ushering them their way.
Yep.
But to watch those three guys run out and run to them and put themselves in danger instead of just welcoming them in, that's something pretty cool. That's very special that you see those guys go and do that. And it's not like, I mean, it doesn't matter if they're stars or guys at the end of the bench or whatever, but they are the superstar players, the faces of the San Diego Padres, and they're the first three that jump out. And that also goes back to why those guys are so well-respected on their team and across Major League Baseball as well, which is just such a small aspect of what they did. But you see exactly why that happens. And so often we see like the terrible parts of it. And luckily this wasn't inside of the stadium and luckily it was outside of the stadium. And we see so many of the negative attention that comes to our sports world.
Yep.
It's that little dose of goodness that you need to kind of, to bring you back and be like, they put the other people around them just at the same point as they are, right?
And you see them literally lifting children out of the stands and running them to the dugout and then going back for more, opening the gate, making sure. I think it was such a presence. Like, it was just in a crisis, your truest sort of self comes out, right? And the fact that in that moment, they were just worried about the other human beings. Who cares if they were, you know, family, fans of the Padres, fans of the Nationals, it doesn't matter. They just went out and grabbed them and tried to make as many people safe as they possibly could. It says a lot about who they are as human beings and certainly proud of the hometown squad.
Yeah, I know. It's your chance to prop up your pods.
My pods.
And luckily, you know, I think I saw in the reports that there was... it was shooting between two cars and one woman was shot, but non life threatening as she was leaving the game.
Grazed wound.
Yep. And which is terrible. But then the two other people that were in the vehicles were shot and they're being investigated for. They still don't know who did it, but you know, thankfully and luckily it wasn't something that was inside of the stadium and as a part of a game, because that is, you know, sports are the great escape in the place that people go to kind of unwind and relax.
Well, and that's like one of your, maybe not everyone's, but that's one of my fears, is that there would be one in a stadium or in an arena or something like that. So.
Just things you don't think about when you get ready and you're going to a game.
No.
And you shouldn't have to either.
No.
Not at all. All right. Hey, Vegas is back to its ways and this should make Blazer fans feel better. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app. All right, stop me if you heard this one before, but Vegas is eyeing another professional sports franchise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fifth in as many years.
This is crazy because Allnet Resort and Casino is going to break ground in October. It's being led by former UNLV hoop star Jackie Robinson. Not that Jackie Robinson. No. That one's dead. This Jackie Robinson played basketball at UNLV, and then in the NBA for a couple of years, and then bounced around in Europe. And since then, he's just been getting really rich. Mm. Sounds about right.
Cool.
And he's now a billionaire, and they're building as part of a resort hotel. It'll be a 23,000 seat arena with a retractable roof, two hotels, a 3,000 seat theater, and a 400,000 square foot retail plaza.
Wow.
It is on the north end of the strip. Like, when I say the north end of the strip, at the very end of the Vegas strip on the north side of town, kind of by where the old Sahara is. So that is where it will be. And basically, they're building this because they want it to be the home for an NBA franchise. And they're going to break ground in October on this thing. A $4 billion project.
Whew. And it looks sweet. And it sounds like this has been a year-long process. Or years long.
I was gonna say
years long.
Stuff really does happen. Years long process.
But the renderings of this basketball arena, it's got some open sky.
Yeah, retractable roof.
Yeah,
it's
sweet looking.
You in theory could play an open air NBA game.
Be sweet.
Or college game.
But I think too, what this does is, whether it's the NBA as an expansion or whatever, I also think Vegas is just proving over and over again that it is a great hub for these events, right? Like the WNBA All-Star event that just happened there. Fantastic.
Yep.
Pac-12 media. I mean, like, there's conferences that
conference tournament, men's or that's what I meant, men's tournaments there. And I think the women are moving down to Vegas soon, aren't they, from Seattle?
I thought
the Pac-12 championship football game will be at the Raider Stadium down there. Like, it is, or Allegiant Stadium. It is becoming that hub. And now they want more. They want an NBA team. And I found it very interesting that the goal of it is not relocation. It is, we are building this with expansion and NBA expansion franchise in mind. Yep. Right now, it could be something similar to what I think Kansas City did it. The, if you build it, they will come sort of deal, where they built like a Sprint Center there and nothing ever happened with it. But Vegas, it feels like one of the hot spots. And, you know, I know Adam Silver's been playing really coy about it, but the expansion in the NBA, Vegas and Seattle make sense.
They do.
You need more teams out west.
Yep.
So
yep.
You don't have, you know, Memphis and New Orleans in the Western Conference anymore.
Yeah, especially for traveling. I mean, if we saw anything this year, it's just how the traveling should actually be far more like regionally centric for these players to be at their best for an 82-game season. So, Minnesota probably doesn't. There's a few teams that you could say keep them a little bit more geographically making sense.
And if you look at it, Vegas building a place, they already have an arena, by the way, where T-Mobile arena, where the Vegas Golden Knights play and the Aces of the WNBA. They already have an arena, but they're building this one with the idea of hopefully luring an NBA franchise. This has also got to be music to the ears of Trailblazer fans, where we do have reports of Jody Allen preparing to get the team ready for sale. I mean, that's kind of been tucked away in almost every one of these offseason articles, is Jody Allen in wanting to sell the team. If the NBA is going to expand to Seattle and Vegas, and that is what they want to do and how they want to operate, that is good news, because those are the teams that would be in, or cities that would be in play for a team to move. We're already hearing it with the Minnesota Timberwolves and Alex Rodriguez and his, you know, in his ownership group. Yeah, wanting to move them to Seattle, you know, with expansion on the, hopefully on the horizon in the very near future for Vegas and Seattle. That would be huge for, you know, Minnesota. And if Jody Allen ever does, you know, decide to sell the Portland Trailblazers, I know that we sit here and we're like, the NBA would never allow that to happen. And, you know, the Blazers have been here since 1970. But money talks, and we've seen it before.
And as a former diehard San Diego Chargers fan, I promise you, it never feels real until it is.
Yeah, and that's one of those cold, harsh realities of professional sports.
Yep. Very much so. But it's a sweet, sweet setup for Vegas. So
there's no way. Like, I mean, they have like a basketball playing with the retreat with the roof open. Mm. You can't play basketball like an NBA game in an open air setting.
So I would,
like, when are you telling me like Steph or Dame or Trae Young are going to be cool with like a breeze blowing through the arena when they're launching up 40-foot threes? No.
Valid. I was the PA for the Battle of the Midway. You guys remember watching that?
Yeah.
Between Syracuse and San Diego State?
Yeah, Michigan State played North Carolina in one as well, didn't they?
I think so. I was just there for the Syracuse SDSU game, and it was, the glare was brutal. Like, the broadcasters could hardly see because the sun was right in their face the entire game. It's definitely, playing in an open air arena probably sounds cooler than it is, but this one looks like maybe you could have almost like a netting almost, that like the sun isn't quite as harsh and maybe the breeze doesn't get through as much, but it's still technically open air. I don't know. I'm just saying it sounds real cool until you're the one shooting or trying to see the players and there's a huge glare from the sun.
Yeah, the first time that, you know, Dame or Steph or Trey has a three knocked off course because of wind, it's done.
It's over.
You're never opening that bad boy again. Hell, we got baseball teams that refuse to open their roofs right now for baseball games.
Yep.
One thing I thought that was interesting about the whole Vegas expansion thing was actually Maury Brown was on from Forbes, I think last week with Dirt and Spray. Or no, he was on with Souk. And they were talking about the whole expansion idea with the A's and going to Vegas. And Maury brought up a good point of saying, well, you know, it might not be a great idea, at least for baseball, because baseball is one of those sports where you need at least a consistent flow of ticket revenue.
Yeah. Mm.
And Vegas is a town where you will have people go to games, but on a consistent basis, that's going to be really difficult. Because of the fact it's a transient city and you can't really build an intense fan base.
I don't think
it's a transient city anymore.
Well, the only reason I bring this up is because I think you might be able to apply that same type of logic to a basketball team just because there's 82 games or however many they're going to have at this point. 40. The NFL, it might work because of the fact you have one, possibly two games a week, and you got people who can fly up from California or even drive, and that's not a big deal.
The population of the Vegas metro area is 2.27 million people.
Okay.
That's
a decent amount.
I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bigger than Portland. And that's the population. That's not transient. Where I think there is a very real conversation is, like, the Golden Knights, and this is what I've been told of from people that I know that live in Vegas, friends that I know that live in Vegas are, no, like, that is a very local population that are season ticket holders, and they go. Where you would have to be weary is if baseball and basketball come at the same time.
Right.
You're oversaturation where, yes, you do have people, and the Golden Knights were the first ones to be there. You're damn right they are going to be the ones that have the most loyal fan base. But it's different selling season tickets to one or two franchises, and the NFL will sell out no matter what because it's only eight dates out of the year. But you've got 41 in basketball, and you got 81 in baseball on top of the 41 in with hockey. Mm-hmm. That's where you get into an oversaturation of tickets, and that may be what the point is. It's not that the area isn't big enough to sustain it. It's all at once, and you go from nothing
to everything.
All of them, that's a lot of tickets that you got to be moving.
Yeah, and I think that's why what I like about this site is it creates more of an ability for Vegas to host more of these, like, all-star weekends and Pac-12 things. It provides more of a central spot, at least out west, right? Like, that's a very central western spot for everybody from, like, you know, Colorado to the coast out here. Vegas is a great spot to have these meetings of, like, the Pac-12 championship game. And so it provides more of that, I think, even if they don't get an NBA team.
503-250-1080. That'd be the fan text line. Vegas, back to its ways, building stadiums, $4 billion project.
Coo, coo, coo.
Trying to lure an NBA expansion franchise out of them. All right, Tate, the head of the NCAA is saying the NCAA shouldn't be doing what the NCAA was created to do.
Interesting.
What's next on The Fan?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.